I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody. It's Allison Kaskowski again. Thank you so much for joining me for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. We talk about creating a client experience in this space really for two reasons. One is we want to massively always improve customer value, but we also want to take off like a rocket ship the transformation that we allow our clients to get. And this is why when we always talk to the very best of the best on this show about how they create their client experiences for this reason. So if you're in business, if you're on a mission to change the world, if you're in the business of providing innovative, creative client experiences, this is the show for you. Today, I'm talking to Allison Tash. She is coming to me from New Jersey. She is a career and a life coach, and she's been doing this a long time. So we're going to be talking a lot about the concept of transition. What is it like to really make a change from one to the other? And what does that look like in terms of changing your identity? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Of course. Fantastic. Please, if you would, tell my audience a little bit about you.
So I have been coaching. You alluded to it. I've been coaching for a long time. That is no lie. I've been coaching for 18 years. But I think what's interesting for my clients is I've had several careers before that. My first career right out of college in 1994 was .com. I worked in .com for almost 10 years in New York and in San Francisco. It was a really heady time to be in .com because the 90s in .com was trying to convince people that the internet was going to change the world. And so it was super fun because that definitely happened. But at that time, people weren't necessarily in alignment. So it was at the beginning of a thing. After that, I went into food. I got a degree in culinary education and I went to work for Martha Stewart. And I was given the incredible opportunity to host a couple of my own food TV shows, on Lifetime and TLC and on Yahoo as well. So it was both cooking and then hosting and talking about cooking. And that was as good as you could imagine that job to be. It was an absolute blast. I also wrote a couple of cookbooks, was a, editor at large for Cooking Light magazine. So I got to do some really interesting work. And then I just went full time into coaching. I started coaching while I was cooking and then did it full time once I had a family. So that's a little bit about me, but I think I share that because I've had such different careers. When I help people excel in their careers, I have great experience in corporate. I have great experience in creative. I have great experience in one-on-one service as I do now. So I don't coach because of the coaching format, though I love the coaching format. I've also been in it and I've been in their shoes. So I find that really helps.
Yeah. I love the idea that really what you just said, something really jumped out at me. And that is that because you teach transition, you've been through several transitions between working in .com. And I was finishing graduate school in 1994, right when the .com was really starting to take off. Right. So I totally remember that time. But then to go over to something like editorial work in a magazine, by the way, Cooking Light is one of my favorite magazines. So I'll just go ahead and put that out there. And now to go from there into what you're doing, I mean, you don't get any more with the transition than that. You want to talk about one, I don't want to call it an extreme to the other, but going from one to the other. So you really walk the walk as well as what you talk, right?
Yeah, it's a wide scope and I'm not that much of a hopper, right? It's only three. I'm 51. Yeah. But I've gone deep into each. And so I can help you when you've had that job for 27 years and you're like, is there a future? Can I do anything else? Of course you can. Life is long. What do you feel like doing? What are you good at? What are your hobbies? Right. So I'm good at having perspective. It's different than the food we feed high school students, which is you got to figure out what you want to do. You got to get to the right college. This is important. This is critical for your life. It's not really, you know, it's critical for your life, your happiness, your joy, your own sense of efficacy. empathy, kindness, warmth. The rest of the stuff is, where can I build a skill and use that skill and grow that skill?
Well, and it's also listening for like what the next move is going to be, you know, and I completely agree. Look, I've taught college for almost 25 years as an adjunct. I teach at a women's college here in Raleigh. I love that. It's like the perfect combination between business and the academic world. But I say that because not everybody's ready for college, you know, at 18 or 19. And there's nothing wrong with going into the workforce and then going back to school too. And you want to talk about a transition there. So I just love that you're speaking into that because I think we need to normalize that conversation more.
You know, if I can give a shout out right now, I have a stepdaughter who's 22 and she graduated into COVID, right? She graduated high school in 2020 and she's like, I don't know. Things are so crazy. I was like, I have never seen things as crazy as you're experiencing. She's like, I'm going to go work on a farm. Like, I want my hands in the earth. Like, this is nuts. I was like, have fun. Go work on a farm. And she did that worldwide organic farming woofing that so many kids do at the gap year before or after college. Then she ended up going to Rutgers, right, to pursue urban agriculture. And she was like, why am I in the classroom? Why am I not in the soil? I got a plot of land. They won't let me use it. I was like, doesn't sound like it's a fit. So she left, went to farming again, and now she's in art school. So the intensity of the exploration that she did outside the classroom led her to greater clarity, joy, and a sense of purpose and meaning in the classroom she ultimately chose. So, you know, I don't preach it. I also, I've parented it. So
I love that. I just think we have to normalize what that experience looks like because ultimately we're best suited when we're actually doing things that line up more with our purpose and our skill set. So I love that you're speaking into that. So before we get into what you do, I want to just kind of take a bird's eye view here of the concept of transition. So, you know, I know for people listening, when they hear the word transition, it's almost like they're in between or they're going from one thing to the other, but they haven't quite made it to the other thing over here. So from your perspective, being that this is your world, how do you define that?
Well, a concept I've been playing with for transition is the concept of a liminal space. Liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. I learned about this word pretty recently and I love it because architects know this because they have to design space. It's not the dining room. It's not the kitchen. It's the between, right? Homes used to have beautiful entryways. I've heard organizers call these landing spaces, right? Foods, coats, book bags, sports equipment, right? So I love the concept because we can understand it when we understand physically, right? A liminal space. You're not outside. You're not fully inside yet. You're in between. What do we do with the things? And in life, there's that transition, which, oh, puberty is so hard. Oh, menopause is so hard. We don't respect the transition as its own time. It's like, quick, get through it, bear down, right? Even birth.
Yeah. What's a bigger transition? Speed is our friend. Let's get through this as quick as we can. I mean, honestly, look at how the world is running today with social media. People want things like that.
Yes. I have a cousin who's a psychiatrist. She said, let's normalize non-instantaneous responsiveness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it can take a few days to respond to a text. So I like the idea of liminal space because architects have designed it into spaces because we need that. You know, I love, you know, religions around the world have the Sabbath, right? Whether it's Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is, like that day of rest, right? A holiday was a holy day, a day that's separate for a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And we've moved, right? Now a holiday is a vacation, quick. Oh my God, where are you going for vacation?
Right.
No, I'm chillax. Right. Saturdays and Sundays are like filled with activities with dual working parent families now and kids in sports. And it's like, whoa. So I think culturally we've gotten away from transition and quite frankly, rest as its own valid space. You know, again, childbirth, right? Numb it out, knock me out. I don't want to feel it. Like transitions are typically uncomfortable, right?
Yep.
Ask a little duck being born or a butterfly transitioning out of its chrysalis. Like it's not comfortable, but if you help the butterfly won't be able to fly. They have to learn something in that emergence that allows them into the next phase. It is valid. It is important. It's not easy. So I have great respect for the challenge that is transition. And that's why I'm here to sort of Sherpa you through it, to like guide you and support you through it. It's your transition. It's not mine, but I'm here to help you along the way.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that, because to your point, I do think that, you know, the reason that we don't allow ourselves experience to really fully experience, if you will, no pun intended, transition, right? It's because we're afraid of what we're going to feel when we do it, right? So if we can learn a new way to experience transition, who knows what that might teach us?
You know, it's so funny you say that. We're afraid of what we're going to feel. Gosh, right? The anticipatory anxiety, the anticipatory fear. And a lot of that's been socialized to us. I think of
bringing up childbirth again, because it's a big transition
that everyone has experienced, but doesn't recall. But there's a woman, a midwife called Ina Mae Gaskin from your neck of the woods, who is just this legendary midwife in the late 1900s, working on farms in the southeastern United States. And she has this book, I think it's called Orgasmic Birth or something. It's a meditative book on childbirth. And I would, when I was pregnant with my third child, I'd have my husband read me passages every night while I was in the bath, like, woof. And it would tell you, like, well, here's the other side. Like, when you have birth, it can actually be really cool. You can connect with your body. You're going to feel pressure. It's not a tickle. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a big baby coming on, but you know, the baby's all smushed up too, right? They're having their own experience. So like, let me just normalize the fact that it's not a massage.
Uh-huh.
You can do it and you're going to get to the other side and I'm going to be okay. And if not, someone who's not you will take care of you and make sure you're okay. But like, here you go, girl, you know, running a marathon isn't easy. Doing a sprint isn't easy. Cooking dinner every night isn't easy. Picking your kids up from school isn't easy. Life isn't easy.
Yeah.
It isn't easy, but it's so worthwhile. And each of these transition moments can help you grow and become and develop. And we as humans like growth. We crave growth. We crave mastery. But the only way to mastery is through taking on something that you couldn't do yesterday that you're ready for today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that, because, gosh, just so many golden nuggets in there. It's like, you know, human nature lends itself to us not wanting to do hard things. I mean, my wheelhouse is health and fitness. So, you know, why do so many people struggle with adopting a workout program or achieving results in the gym? It's because of the fact that they have this tricky thought that it's hard work, and we're wired not to want to do hard work. Let's be honest. I mean, our brains are wired to be inherently lazy. But having said that, it's like, there's so much magic in the journey. That the journey itself is part of the transition, right?
Yeah. And Allison, I'm going to build on what you said to say it's unlearning, right? Our minds are inherently lazy.
Yeah.
Go hang out with a 5-year-old. There ain't nothing lazy about a 5-year-old. They're jumping around. They can't even walk in a straight line. All they're doing is bouncing around, climbing trees. I love when parents are like, you don't want to climb that tree. No, they do. That's why they're on the tree. They very much want to climb that tree. So we sort of, you don't want to do that. Yeah, it
is. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So it's, we learn to repress the desire and the hunger for growth and feeling our bodies strengthen.
Yeah.
You know, or even our experiences strengthen. And then we're like, you know, Netflix and chill, cozy blanket, cozy couch, and I'm going to snuggle down.
Yeah.
And that becomes the retreat, but it's not the Sabbath.
Yeah.
It's we retreat from life because life's so hard that we don't want it to be any harder.
Oh, and I also think that anytime we're looking to make a transition or a change, you know, I think we get really good at what we do often as human beings, right? Like building that part of like the habit building behavior, depending on who you talk to, you're going to get a different response to that. But one of the things I like to always say is we get really good at what we do often. So if we're taught, and to your point, we are socialized quite a bit to avoid like the difficult part of the transition. How can we make this as easy as possible? How can I make this as easy as possible for me? What can I think to make this easy? Like that's out there 1000%, right? But as far as making that normal, if watching Netflix and chilling on the couch or whatever you want to call it is your idea of retreating, okay, then it's like, if we just repeat that over and over again, then that becomes the normal. So anyway, I just think we cannot say this enough, that people need to hear it any number of different ways, right? Life is 50-50. We're not promised that everything is going to work out like roses and puppies and rainbows. It's just not.
Right. And so it's funny. Like, I have a son who hates walking, but he loves sprinting. And if I'm like, all right, you want to race me? He's like, yes. He doesn't want to go at 2. He's better from 7 to 9. He wants to work hard, right? Yeah. Totally. I'm sure you see dogs like that as well. Like, there's some mushy puddles of dog, and there's some dogs like, throw me the ball, more ball, more running.
Yeah.
And so everybody has that, but we're, you know, there's so many messages like reduce the pain, reduce the stress. There's a stress I love called eustress, right? It's the stress of growth and change.
Right.
And that's a magical thing when you overcome a fear or a challenge or an obstacle. And when we remove that opportunity from ourselves at all ages, then we start to curtail our growth.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, again, to use another fitness analogy, it's like we're strengthening a new muscle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody ever tells us it's going to be easy. And quite frankly, it shouldn't be easy. But the more we practice it, guess what? The stronger we get. Guess what? We learn more about ourselves. And guess what? We figure out that we can do hard things. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
You know, and Allison, I think the telltale sign of that great workout is the next day when you're like, ooh, I can feel that, right? And more often than not, my clients are like, it's a badge of honor. I love that mark of I worked hard and my body's developing in new ways, and I earned that.
Yeah, right? Of course. But just one more quick thing here before we move on. The other things that I always teach too is that don't be weirded out if you're not sore the next day. Yep. Okay. You still did the good work, right? Okay. Right. So,
absolutely.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what you do. Tell me a little bit in a nutshell about what are people's, if you could kind of sum it up in two or three things, you know, what are people looking for when they come to you?
Insight and execution. So they're coming to me to think of a new approach, like an insight has within it. A lot of times a client will say like, I knew that, but I didn't let myself know that, right? So they're looking for that pang of clarity. Maybe clarity is a better word. They're looking to be very moved and inspired. I had a client session before this call, and I left and I was like, how are you feeling? She was like, I'm ablaze. I'm on fire. And she goes, but I get ablaze. The question is, now what? Right? So I don't want to turn you on and have you all excited and then not execute.
Yeah.
So it's that insight, that blaze, and then there's that execution accountability.
Yeah.
So I do both because if you're not on fire.
Well, and the other point is that we can't read the label inside the bottle. That's what my coach always tells me. And it's very true because we can know that we need to do something different. We can even like say, readily admit it. Hey, you know what, Allison? I got to do something about this. That doesn't always mean that we're going to execute, much less do what's on the other side of that. And that's really, to me, the beauty of coaching is that sometimes we're not telling people things that they don't already know, but we're just helping them reframe it and helping them move forward in a way that actually gets them results.
Yeah. And I think part of the dance of coaching is we can't say it. We have to guide them to say it.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in my office right now. I have a whiteboard wall. So
you can see it,
but like it's filled with words. Like my clients are saying things and I'm just writing them down. Right. Yep. They sit here and they look at a 22-foot wall filled with their ideas and they go like this. Oh, it's so good to get that out.
As human beings, you know, we're thinkers, you know, we think at the highest level of all creatures on the planet and really in the world, the galaxy, whatever you want to call it. Right. And, but we can't do a lot of this work in our head. You know, we have to get it out and having an objective party, whether it's an objective set of eyes or ears or both or whatever, it's like, that's what's going to help us kind of like narrow the gap and collapse time and like, you know, move faster. If that's what, that's what we're trying to do.
Right. So I'm supporting their own excavation of their thoughts and ideas.
Okay.
When I have a client who's like, well, why don't you just tell me, like, what are my options? I'm like, well, that's a trap because here's how it's going to go. I'm going to suggest a bunch of things. She'll be like, no, no, I thought of that. No. Right. So that doesn't
work. They're going to go do it and then say, well, that didn't work. And it's,
yeah, we're not playing that game. I'm like, I can wait you out, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got you. So, so if people are coming to you and they're wanting change, they're wanting something different and they're wanting execution, who would you say then is your ideal client? Because that, that line of reasoning can apply to lots of different kinds of people. So what I guess what I'm asking you is like, can you narrow that down for me a little? Like, who is that ideal client that's best suited to work with you?
So I'm thinking now of individuals and I'm trying to look at their commonalities. So I like a client who'll do the work, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't do the work between sessions.
A self-starter. Yeah.
They just have to execute on their commitments. They have to honor their word and their obligation. And if they say, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, and we put it on the board, you need to do it or you need to attempt to do it and say why it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But some level of accountability, right? It's my job, but it's your job too. The clients who do the work between sessions have a, you know, a very impactful experience.
Your clients then, are they in careers and they're looking at making a change, or are they like, say, you know, empty nesters, maybe gone through a divorce or a major life event and they're looking at what's next, or is it all of it?
It's literally all of it. And that's what keeps, you know, the cross training keeps it relevant, because I have a client who's a professional trumpeter. And then I have this, you know, woman who's CEO of a major global organization. And so what they can learn from each other through me is pretty magical, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really magical. So it's, I would say there are three main clusters. There's the 20 something hashtag adulting cluster that just hasn't engaged, and their mom calls me or they call me and they are beating themselves up so hard because maybe they haven't given them a chance to explore, or they've stopped listening to their own voice, their own voice. There's the having a baby, getting married transition on top of the career. And it's like, especially women who have children who are under
support. A lot of change at one time. Yeah.
And then there's the 50 something, like, is this all there is? I thought I did all the things and now I'm here and this isn't what I thought it would be. Right.
I got you.
A small group at retirement, but those are the major nodes for me.
Okay. I see. Okay. So let's talk a little bit then about your client experience. It sounds like, just from what we've been talking about, that you personalize a lot of your experiences, because obviously people are going to come to you, even though they might fall into one of those nodes, if you will, that their concerns may still be just different enough that they need a little touch of customization.
Yeah. I always say it's a bespoke experience. It is 100% customized. to them. I also like the visual of there's me, there's you, and there's this magical thing that happens between us. Okay. And that's what we're doing, right? I work on behalf of future you. Okay. You have a vision of future you. Future you has hired me to help you get there.
I like that. I talk a lot about, you know, the fact that the future version of yourself is literally sitting across the room from you as we talk right now. And the only reason why you haven't met him or her is because you're not thinking and believing in the same vein as they are.
Wow.
And so being able to execute, and I guess I share that because we make it sound like people hear that and they think, oh, that's like years down the road. It's really not. It's really just up to how fast and how willing you are to commit to the process of the transformation.
Wow. That's great. You know, the other thing I would say to go back to a question you had asked, like which are great clients? And I said, you know, do the work. Yep. But I think the other thing is a client who's willing to go deeper and not think with their head, but engage in a more somatic and even spiritual experience of what they're meant to do. So it's not, you know, well, my parents wanted me to be a doctor, so I became a lawyer because I hated touching things, because it's juris doctor. Like, fuck what your parents said. Like, we're not doing you. So, someone who will start to amplify their own voice and is willing to go there. Some people are unwilling. It's scary to hear what you really want, but I need clients who are willing to hear what they really want.
Okay. No, I love that. I love that. So if you're customizing their experience, do you have like a process that you use? Do you have like, I mean, I'm sure you kind of have your own signature framework or whatever you want to call it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It's very simple, actually. I see people for an introductory session. And then we kind of scope out what their goals are and what they want to do. And it's a simple question. Do you want to meet twice a month? Or do you want to meet every week?
Yeah.
But we're going to pursue this goal at what pace will serve you best. Mm-hmm. We have a rough estimate of when we expect the goal to happen, and the goal happens and I say goodbye, or the goal might take less time and we say goodbye, or we think about whether or not we want to pursue something else. But it's very goal oriented, and it's just a question of what frequency works best for you. We have, you know, in-person or virtual meetings for those meetings. And then we have, you know, nonstop repartee between sessions, emails, email me updates, tell me what's going on. So
out on the degree of support really in between, right? Like the touch points, if like whatever touch points you feel like are going to complement their time with you, right?
Yep. So we are constantly together. You don't see me once a week. You interact with me as much as you like. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I'm supporting you for the totality of this project.
Interesting.
So I think that level of knowing that I'm there and I want to hear from you. I say at the end of every session, hey, I want to hear between sessions. I know I'm not going to see you for 2 weeks, but these things, you know, send me the list. So like we're on the same page. I'm not micromanaging. You don't work for me, but I just want you to know I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, if people knew how to get to where they wanted to be, they wouldn't need you, you know? So it's kind of a, if they already, it's kind of like the old saying, if you knew how to get there, you'd already be there kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. And I'll give, you know, books that I think are useful. If I see something in the news that is relevant, like we're really in it together. And I think, you know, the magic ingredient, I hesitate to say it because it sounds a bit hokey, but like I really love my clients and I'm very invested in the process.
Yeah, I got you. I hear
outcome is what they're invested in. Yeah. And I'm interested in supporting them, you know, through this. We know it's going to be work. We know it's going to be effort. We know it's going to be joyful and humorous. There's like we're turning up all the things like on a beautiful day. Everything seems so wonderful. Yeah. So I'm trying to transition from, stay away to let's get in this together. Let's have the ride. Going to be wild, but we're going to go do it together.
Yeah. Well, so you're like, you present as almost like what's coming up for me is that it's a partnership. It becomes a road that we walk together side by side, not me in front of you, not you in front of me, but we do it together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
very much so. And you're the expert on you, and I'm just going to help you get deeper in there to serve you.
Okay. So you help them become a different version of themselves then.
I help you evolve. You know, like I said, you can get there without me, but it'll be faster, more graceful, and fun.
Yeah, like that. So what makes working with you different from all other life and career coaches? Because, I mean, no offense, but there are a lot of people out there who are saying very similar things to what you're talking about.
And it's a crowded marketplace.
It is. It's like a big traffic jam out there. And I'm just wondering, like, what you could share that would just really highlight the fact that working with you is a different experience.
A lot of it is the chemistry between me and the client. And I think we have a lot of fun. I use humor a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of like clever and silly, like a little bit of Pan, you know, a little bit of Shakespeare's Pan, like a little bit of mischief, a little irreverence, and a little straight talk.
So a little touch of tough love, but like, a little humor here and there when we need to, because let's be honest. I mean, laughter is a great source of therapy and medicine, right? But just straight real talk. And I do think that is missing in the world today. I think there's this big, I don't want to call it a story, because that sounds a little extreme, but I think people are preoccupied. They want to feel good about everything.
Yeah.
I just want to feel good. And I'm like, well, you know what? Sometimes you're not going to feel good, you know? And
yeah. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm helping you do the thing you want to do.
Yeah.
And I'll jump in. I'll be like, listen, we've been talking for a while now. Or I noticed in the last few sessions, like you're saying the same thing. Can I just tell you what I see?
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like what my coach sometimes says, is it okay if I'm real with you instead of nice to you? You know? And I'm just like, I like that because it's like, you know, I think we get to where we like what we're saying. And then it's kind of like, then you sort of think, okay, are you trying to convince you or me? Yeah. Let's cut that out. Let's just cut to the chase. Right.
Yeah. I have a client who gave me this whole spiel about how, like, he ended up leaving his job and he's like, do you know that 3 months ago you said, do I have permission to just be direct? And then you said, so here's what's going to happen. You can either quit now or you can spend another 3 months talking about it and you can quit then. Either way, you're going to be leaving.
Right,
so
right.
You can just decide at what pace works for you. Yeah. And he's great cartoon image of me. And he was like, and I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know who I am. You don't know anything. And here we are 3 months to the day later, just like you said. And I quit. And I just want to say you were right. And I was like, and I just want to say, I'm sorry. Cause you clearly were not ready for that at that moment. You held back a little bit, but you know, some of it is pattern recognition. I think also I have been doing this 18 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm an MCC level coach. I have thousands of coaching hours to draw on. And I also think, like, my sessions start at 7 a.m. I love this work. I'm grateful that you choose me. So I'm really quite joyful about what I do. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I love it.
Yeah.
And so you have someone who's just really having a good time.
Yeah.
With their job of supporting.
A certain amount of confidence, and not just confidence in your ability. Because I don't really think that that's where the deficit is, but I think there's a lot of people out there like saying things because they think it's the right thing to say. A lot of professionals, honestly. And they might like believe it in the moment, but is it really like who they are to the core? And I think that's what's really coming through with what you're saying is, look, this is who I am. You know, and I think we need more of that in the world.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing that.
Because I think there's just a lot of, there's a lot of people putting on masks and putting on facades and look, it's not their fault, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm just, come on, let's just cut to the chase. Let's just be real. You know,
this is the work I'm meant to do. So I thank every client for giving me the opportunity to do it.
Same. I feel the same way about my work. So I'm thinking about the person listening who is really intrigued by this conversation. And they're just wondering, okay, can you give me some rock solid tips, pieces of advice, a simple strategy that I can go and at least get started on my own today? What do you say to that person?
Well, first of all, thanks for listening so far into this podcast. I'm glad you're hanging with us. And honestly, what I would do is what I do at the end of every coaching session, which is, all right, we've been talking now for 45 minutes, whatever it is. So you've been listening for half an hour. What resonated with you? What did you hear us say that worked? Was it that you need to do the work? Was it having an accountability partner? Was it that feeling of having a partner who just loves you? What is it that made you light up or not turn us off? What was it that kept you listening? Was it the vibe between us? Cause you and I are super aligned on this. Is it like, oh man, these two ladies are cool. I just want to hang out with them, right? Pay attention to why you stuck with this and what was turning you on. So as always, right? I don't have the answer for you, but I know you have it.
Yeah. Love it. So give us a tip then.
I am such a big fan of James Clear and his Atomic Habits.
Yeah, same. Love that one.
Everyone can do one. I mean, certainly with health and wellness, everyone can do it 1% better. Everyone can, right?
Love that.
So what is it? A client today was talking to me about Ben Franklin's virtues. Ben Franklin apparently had, I don't know, 13 or 15 virtues that he was really into that mattered to him. You know, maybe it's health. Maybe it's sleep. Maybe it's your intellect. And he would pick one of them and say, I'm going to work on this for the next few weeks. And once I feel like it's good and it's in me and part of me, I'll work on the next one. Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's patience. So I think thinking about something, not like, if only I had this, but I have this. I want to shine a light on it and bring it.
Yeah, I love that.
The old set an intention, but if you set an intention around a virtue or an ethic or something that's meaningful to you as a human, and then look for it, right? I don't have to do the kindness, but just observe the kindness around you. Wow, that barista is like so nice with everyone.
Yeah.
That teacher goes the extra mile to reach out to parents. That nurse.
Yeah.
Took the extra second to hold my child's hand during the shot. And then you just bathe in that value that's important to you. It just raises your joy.
Oh, I love that. That it's like, let's not focus on what we think we don't have because we already have it. Let's just shine a light on it and get it to turn up a little bit more. I love that. I think that's like a golden nugget that anyone listening can walk away with. Where can people connect with you?
So my website is my name. It's allisontask.com, allisontask.com. And the best way, you know, if you want to set up a session, you go to allisontask.com/intro, send me a note. We can set up a session. If you just want a little more, but you don't really want to commit yet, you can sign up for my newsletter. You will get a pop-up when you go to my website or scroll to the bottom. I send a monthly newsletter. You can always go to the newsletter's archives. Just see how you like it. And then there's my book. I've written 2 cookbooks and 3 more self-helpy books. But the one that's most relevant is Personal Revolution. It's kind of a DIY coaching guide. I also have a podcast that is basically an audio book of that. You can access that on my website as well. But yeah, those are some touch points if you want to continue the conversation.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate, us talking about the concept of transition and how we can work that into a real experience.
Well, thank you for hosting this podcast and everything you do to elevate your level of service and excellence. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure. So folks out there listening, if you want to connect with Allison, please find her link in the show notes below, allisontask.com. You can connect with her. You can get her book. You can check out her newsletter if you want to do that. And there's a whole host of other ways if you're just curious and you want to explore what that could absolutely look like. This is exactly why I created this show, which is an offshoot of our flagship Top 100 Tuesday show, which is the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. So if you have found this episode super helpful for you or inspirational in any way, please copy the link and share it with a friend or a colleague. And if you like, you can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com. And we will do it for you. Either I will do it or someone on my team will take care of it for you. And we will make sure that this gets in the hands of who you would like to actually hear it. This is why both of our shows are consistently ranked high And why we reach new people every single week is because of people like you who listen, who subscribe, who download, who even take the time to write us a review. Or keep in mind, you can always connect with me directly on my site. I answer all of my emails. I don't have anyone doing that for me. So I always love to get your feedback. So feel free to connect with me. Just go to www.theallisonk.com and just drop me a note because I always love to hear from you. Thank you for all of your support of me, of my message, and of both of my shows. Just know that I could not be on this journey without you. And I am incredibly grateful for each and every one of you. That's what we got for you this week on the podcast, folks. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye.